Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Monday night's version of your show, Raising Expectations. And we're so glad you're with us tonight, and we're going to have a little time of prayer at the end for all of our friends and people that we know there in the Southeast and what they have come through in this hurricane, and we'll invite you to join us in that prayer together. We'll be sharing that towards the end of our show, and we sure have been praying for and thinking about them. As you know, our show is about raising expectations, and the reason we feel that we can see expectations being raised is because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe every word of it. We believe that our nation was founded upon it, and the wonderful Judeo-Christian ethics that came out of it founded a constitution and the great nation called the United States of America. We're proud to be Americans, and we're thankful to be able to share that and hear from you during the week on what God is doing in your life. I'm so blessed to hear how He changes your life and He answers prayers, and we're so thankful for that. We believe, as I said, Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. He came here for a reason, to see how you and I live, to see what our needs are, and to die on the cross to pay the price that we wouldn't have to pay it, that we might be one with God, and that we might know where we're going when we die forever with Him and those who know Him, those that we love. But the great part about that, like we say, is in the meantime, each and every day, He walks with us, and He's only a prayer away. So as we pray for each other, we know that He already knows. He's working in it, and we're going to share that together at the end of the program. So tonight we have a very special guest. I know you've been following it on the medias because you've been getting back to me on this, and we're very grateful for that. Janet will be with us in just a moment. We'll bring her up, but in case your first time or second time tonight, and we do want you to know our team. It's the most wonderful team you could ever imagine, and we're going to start on the West Coast with Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Paul Hall is right there, and he's north in Lompoc, just north of Santa Barbara, and watches the missiles take off. In fact, they don't fire unless he leads his head out the window and gives a thumbs up. They take them off out of there all the time, lets them go. So it's great to see Paul. Good to see you, brother. Okay. And Paul and I together are going to head back all the way to the east, southeast, south coast there. And we're going to share and show you once again two of our favorite people in the world, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. And if you don't know them, of course, Steph's on the left, Tank's on the right. He goes by the name Tank. And Steph is a wonderful Christian lady and wife. She has a website you're going to want to see, Live Your Life Out Loud. She's not only a health specialist, but she really is working now as God leads her life in helping women. Ladies that she becomes not only someone who shares faith with, but becomes a friend too, and becomes therefore an expectation raiser with them. She helps countless ladies, and it's a wonderful call God has on her life, and we're blessed that she's part of our team. She's a blessing to all of us, just like Paul and Stephanie, and a wonderful guy to her left. He is Tank, Dr. Tank. There. She is his husband, her husband. Let's get this straight. We're Republicans. In any event, you're going to see here. Hell yeah. Stephanie Rainer's done such a good job on him that everybody loves Tank. And so we want you to know what a blessing he is to all of our lives. Tank is a trauma surgeon. And that's the guy that's probably the best surgeon on the block, as we would say, because when someone doesn't know what to do, they ask him, What now? And where do we go from here? And he always prays, God, use my hands. He's a godly man, a wonderful surgeon of God. And he calls on the Lord every time he goes in the operating room. He's a blessing to all of us. And he shares that blessing in his book. It's on our website. You've seen it on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. His book you'll find there called Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary, and Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. You don't want to miss this. You want to read what Craig's written there, because I guarantee you, whatever he's written was inspired of God and led by the Holy Spirit, the same one that works in all of our lives each and every day. And I love that little tag there, Finding God in the Ordinary, because that's where he works his greatest in the ordinary. Also, my book's in there. You know about my book. It's you know me, I'm Pastor Joe. It's called Legitimate Faith. Well, if we ever needed faith, now is the time. And legitimate faith produces authentic hope. Not hopeful hope, but authentic hope, which, as it says in the Bible, is going to happen because God's got it in his grip. So it was endorsed and coerced with me in a wonderful way by my mentor, Zig Ziglar. I hope you get a copy. It's there on the website. So you'll want to be able to get to know these people and go on our website and learn a little bit about them. You'll see some of their bios there and what they're doing, and they can bless you all the time like they bless my life. You'll also find if we all join together and we do a Peter Pan, join hands, jump off the second story roof, we can make our way across Alabama, Mississippi, north of north part of Louisiana and northeastern Texas. And we'll find our favorite pastor, we always say, there in the state of Texas, who's a men's counselor. And that would be Pastor Ron Greer there in the Dallas area. And he is a counselor working with, he's done a lot of things in his life, and he's a great guy. He's our brother in Christ also, and he works with Man in the Mirror and helps people. You can find him on our website there and see the things that God is doing in his life for and to other people. Each of these people will bless your life, so look them up on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and see what's going on. And also, you'll find a lot of things on there about our program, about our show, and about those people that we love called bbsradio.com. The family, these are great people. We've got the best engineer in the whole wide world, and TJ Newsom. So you're going to enjoy getting to read all about BBS Radio also on here. Tell your friends about it. It's a great place to camp out during the week when you want to see some good stuff, as they say in the South. It's really good. So let's move on tonight. We've got a wonderful guest. She's been my friend. Actually, I'm just honored to say this. She's been my friend since we were in high school. And that was back just about the time the wheel was invented. But in any event, back in Southern California, when we were in high school together, Janet was a blessing to everybody she knew then. She is the president of Golden State Republican Women. She helped put that together with some wonderful ladies, and she's been really busy with her members statewide, thousands of them, supporting all Republicans who are running to win their elections in just a few weeks. Now, California comeback and make America great again is the battle cry. Working tirelessly with people and looking forward to hearing the stories we are tonight from what God is doing. She's dedicated. She has teamwork and teams working everywhere across this state, and her prayers cover the nation also. This may be the biggest election, as we know, coming up in the history of our nation. And we want to make sure the Constitution, freedom, family, finances, and so much more is at stake. And so this is really an important time. And I know you're praying, we're praying, and God's a great God. So strap in, hold on, and watch what he's going to do in your lives. Here's a great picture of Janet also, Golden State Republican Women. So we're going to go ahead. Here's some things they've been doing. Thanks, TJ. That's great. Bring them right on there and the different things that are happening. She's going to tell us all about this, and it's going to be pretty exciting. Can't wait to hear about it. All right, we're going to give the round of applause. Gosh, Stephanie, that's 3 weeks in a row. Round of applause. We're going to bring you on, Janet. So we want to welcome you, and we just want to throw one question out, Janet. How about share with us the things that have been happening, and we'll breathe easy so you can keep the oxygen going. I know how busy you have been. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. You know, it's so wonderful being with you guys. I can exhale. Now, when I'm with you, and I feel like this is my spa time with people who are like-minded. And thank you, Joe, for inviting me, and thank you all for helping this make this a wonderful team. It really is. I will I've told Joe so many times, you have a great team. So it's very busy, as some of you know, here in California. I think the chaos and confusion is purposefully planted here, because if the enemy keeps people in chaos and confusion, we're easier to control. And that's really been what's been happening here in California. Actually, Golden State, I was telling Joe, this is the first time California has ever had a statewide independent Republican women's organization. They've had groups in the past, but they've always been connected to a national organization. This one is just for California. We have a lot to do here to turn this state around. But I really have more hope than I've had for quite a while, because I think we have been believing the narrative that California is irreparably blue. It will never be red again. And I don't believe that. I don't believe it's ever been as bad as they're telling us it's been, because they control the media, they control the narrative, and they keep feeding it to us this way. So this election coming up, as we all know, I've been saying this for too long, and I know you guys have heard it for too long, but this is the most important election of our lifetimes. I really, really feel that way, which is why last year I went to the CAGOP and went through all the hoops that they made us go through, and then got the charter. And so then we're welcoming in all the other independent clubs. They had nowhere to go. They didn't want to go to a national. They wanted to stay here in California and do all the work that we can do to make a good Republican footprint here in California. So we're going like crazy, and we're having speakers come on Zooms. You can hear speakers from, Eureka to San Diego, and that's really good, because it gives these speakers a higher profile. It lets people know who they are. We're not just regional. We're not just counties. We used to be in counties, but that keeps us disconnected. So this now is the time when we all need to join together to make it a united Republican organization. And I don't, I think I told you guys before, when I got chartered, I said, I don't want people labeled. I don't want people in little boxes. I don't want hyphenates. I want people to know what we share, the values we share. And that's what we've come forward with. And we also, unlike a national organization, we're here to serve. It's servant leadership. We're not asking the clubs to serve us as statewide officers. No, we want to know what they need. We serve them.
Amen.
So it's very exciting. I've been on the phone all day with everybody else who's losing just as much sleep as I am, but it's exciting. It's exciting because I think God has brought us to the edge of the precipice so that we can look down in the abyss and be scared to death. This is what living without him has brought us to. So I believe that he is doing this to wake people up, to expose what's really been happening for decades. Decades. This is not new. People say, oh, well, this just started with Clinton or started with. No, this started a long time ago. And the enemy has always been wanting to destroy America, because America was founded by brilliant Christian men. Brilliant. I believe, as we believe the Bible is inspired, I believe that in a way, our Constitution was inbreathed. I believe our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, these are amazing, amazing foundational documents that have kept us safe for 248 years. So I think that has made the enemy very mad. And the choice pickoff in the whole world is to take America. I'm saying no. All of us are saying no. We're pushing back like you can never believe. And this is one reason I think there will be a Jesus revolution. I pray for that from sea to shining sea, that every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And the enemy is already defeated when we do that. Done. He's defeated. So it's spiritual warfare. It's political, yes. But I think God uses the vehicle of politics for his will be done, to bring heaven to earth. That's why I'm excited.
There you go. Amen. The latest meeting you had, you've got a few people we know nationally also that are working very hard for those conservative things. Can you tell us about a couple of those that you have set up, the people that you shared with me? Jump in, guys, on this one, yeah.
Are you talking about the events I'm going to have or what I'm going to?
You had a couple of great ones that you have finished, but also the new, you have one coming up October 18th, I think.
18th, right. We've been getting that going for some time, and it's really exciting to hear the response that we're getting. It's our very first fundraiser because it's like our birthday, but this is also well-timed because the ballots will have dropped. The ballots will have dropped by the 18th of October. And we will also have just marked the one-year anniversary of October 7th. So this gives us an opportunity to support Israel. Mm-hmm. So we're going to open with an invocation from the lady who gave the invocation at the RNC. And then after that, I've asked a Jewish lady to pray for Israel. And then we're going to have the Marines with the color guard start the whole thing. And it's going to be hosted by Steve Hilton, who was very generous last April. I think I told you guys when I got to meet with him, and he said, "How can I help?" I said, "Well, you can do a fundraiser for us." So that's wonderful. There are lots of people that are elected. Do you guys remember? And she made national news. Gloria Romero was the majority leader. She's the Democrat majority leader in Sacramento. And she just has flipped and become a Republican. So she made national news. I met her a couple of weeks ago at the Trump event. And I had that picture that I sent you, Joe, of with President Trump. And he called her in for a private meeting because he was so impressed. So she's coming to my meeting too. And we're having all the candidates so they can get help. These poor candidates are just, they're struggling with fundraisers. So there are just so many I've met recently, which I'm so impressed with the people, the character of the people who believe like we do. I love character. And that's what the other side is showing. They lack. They have no character at all. Can't imagine what the debate's going to be like tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get popcorn.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, go ahead. I was going to go ahead.
Flashed in my head about the debate tomorrow night is the end of the cartoon for like Bugs Bunny, and there was the name of the character, but it was a big, but that's all, folks. I don't know why that came to my head, but it's just like,
imagine.
I feel sad for Mr. Tom, because I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, if they really made it a true debate where each person could ask the other questions. So why do you believe, or how do you stand for, what's your point of view? But it's going to be these questions. So, you're not allowed to ask questions of the other person. That's usually the rules. But I mean, there's nowhere for them to go.
No.
Other than joy, fair share, or some other verbiage
Threat
phrase. Yeah.
to democracy. They love that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threat to democracy. They can't even define democracy. They can't
Yeah.
define a woman, so they can't
Yeah.
define democracy. It's
Yeah.
really sad to see how far we've descended as a country. And I have to point back to when Madeline Murray O'Hare took the prayer out of schools. Changed everything. I remember it changed everything.
What's
Was
here's the last
yeah,
one
go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
the question I would ask. Oh, Stephanie,
No,
just sit
I was.
aside for a minute. Just listen to old people.
Hey.
In 1966, Ronald Reagan shocked everybody, knocked out a two-time incumbent governor who had been an attorney general, and also I think he's a lawyer, had been a district attorney, and the father of Jerry Brown, which is the original Jerry Brown, right?
Matt. Yeah.
50, I think it's like 55, 56% of the vote, completely ever unheard of. And Republicans dominated for the next number of years after that. So my
Yes.
question is, what happened? How did Democrats and leftists somehow grab control of California, given that kind of Republican and conservative Republican base and history? And any idea how that took place? And then second question would be, what's the strategy or the chance of recovering that?
Well, that's my whole goal, Ron. You've just summed it up. Because I remember those days too. Because I'm native, many of us natives. And so we remember when California was like that. I hope you guys saw the movie Reagan.
No, not yet. It's on my list.
Excellent.
Please,
Yes,
oh,
excellent.
please,
So
please
powerful.
see it. I don't think they meant it to be as powerful as it is, which is why it didn't get on the What the New York Times, they didn't rate it highly
Right.
because they don't want people to see it. It's fantastic, just fantastic. So, what I think, and I just refer to it as the enemy, okay? We can call it wokeism, which is Marxism, but we know Marxism is atheism, and there you go. But it's a very patient enemy, very patient, and it's been waiting under the radar for a long time. But meanwhile, remember what Khrushchev said, we will bury you without firing a shot. We will get in your schools and we will teach your children. There you go. So when you teach children to not love God, to not respect law and order, as they did back in the 60s, remember it was pigs. To not love America, to not teach history, that's vital. When you take away the teaching of history, just like we all know, you're destined to repeat it. So we are. But I think it was the propaganda that was put in people's minds, and they hit those younger generations very, very hard. So this is what we have now. They're the professors in the universities. I'm a big history fan, someone just put up. I am too. I am very big history fan because our history, they like to downplay it. They like to say that America has a shameful history. No, it's not perfect, but it is proud. It is proud. And I'm very proud to be an American, and I'm very proud to read things about our founding fathers. They were wonderful men. They weren't the racist people that we're told they were. See, this is the revisionist history that we were taught. So unfortunately, they won the battle of the minds. They won the propaganda war, but we got to fight against it. And that is what we're trying to do. We have to be truth tellers at all times, not give in a little bit to the lies. Because if you give in a little bit, they've got their foot in the door. And then they just bang down the door. So I'm coming against them speaking truth as much as I can possibly find a bullhorn.
Stephanie, do you have a question, or did you get both wrong, or Stephanie, you had a
I'm
thought?
sorry. Yeah, I was just saying to undo. I
Yeah.
think I answered both, but I'm not sure, Ron, if you.
Wasn't sure. Yeah.
Well, on the second
Yeah.
one, Ron, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. That's silly me.
I was watching a broadcast just before we came on the air. It's called The Secrets of War, and it was about Vietnam and where we made some strategic errors. Interesting. And a couple of statements were made, and I'd just like to throw these out because I think, personally, I think one of the things that causes such unrest is fear. We are afraid of everything. I mean, everything.
And that's planted, correct?
We're afraid of whether or not we're going to survive. What about war and terrorism and our infrastructure destruction and epidemics and an unstable economy? And it goes on and on and on. But two statements came out of the program that I was watching. The first one was, and this was the North Vietnamese, the Viet Cong. They said, if the tactics are right and the strategy is wrong, you may win the battle, but you will lose the war. Okay? If the tactics are right, but the strategy is wrong. So in just a second, Janet, I'd like to, if you would, please speak to the strategy. I mean, what's the strategy? The second thing that I heard is, and I thought this was very revealing, one Viet Cong soldier said, "We will fight one more day, one more week, or one more year than the Americans." In other words, they were committed to it, and they were willing to fight. I think I get the sense that we're just getting tired, and getting the encouragement sometimes is really difficult because fear is absolutely overwhelming, to stay with it. Final illustration today, I was getting some gas for my car. We still have gas in Lompoc. Trying
Can
to
you
get some
send it
gas.
to Augusta?
And I'm just going to round up the figures. There was a little tag next to
I've seen
the
that.
pump, and it said federal taxes 18%, rounding. Federal taxes 18%, state taxes 59 cents a gallon. Just in state tax, and I understand they're going to raise it again. So having said all of that, and if we'd acknowledge that fear perhaps is our greatest boogeyman that we need to take on, what are the tactics to do that, Janet? I don't want to sound so negative, but I hear speech after speech after speech after speech after speech after speech. And pretty soon it turns into blah, 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 blah. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher, if you've ever heard her talk. And what really comes out of this, and I'm sensing that you're one of those people, you kind of got your finger on the pulse, okay? But when you gather together, I don't think it's, I sense it's not a matter of how we're going to win, how we're just going to win this election. There's got to be something bigger than that that will capture the heart and the imagination of people who are willing to stay in the fight, because this is a protracted fight. This isn't going to go away in November, even if we win. And if we win the trifecta of the House, the Senate, and the White House, the battle's on. Because already, assuming if we make the assumption that Trump wins the election, already the battle lines are being drawn. How are we going to bring him down? What are we going to, and they're prepared. Question, are we prepared? And if so, can you speak to that just a little bit? Is that a fair question? I don't want to put you on the spot, but what's the larger strategy?
Well, I am a very much an admirer of President Trump because he loves history. He wrote the book, The Art of War, or he read the book, The Art of War, and he is a very strong man. He's a strong leader. And the fear that you mentioned, Paul, has made us cave. It has kept us from having spines of steel. The only thing that will keep us strong is truth, and truth dispels fear. Fear is a lie, and we know who the father of all lies is. So we're really in a spiritual war. And when I look at the bigger picture, I don't try to look at the little ones, like you say, you know, little battle, and then you win or lose the war. We've got to think in terms of how big this is to history. We are in an epic time of history. And I feel that. I'm very aware. So this is why I don't concentrate on one little win here, one little win there. I mean, all together, this is great. But what we have to do is counter the fear. The only way I counter the fear is by going to God, because he speaks truth and strength and direction. And he said, if I call you, I will provide for you. You know, I don't call those that are, what is that called, Joe? I don't call the...
Equipped. I equip the call.
Thank you. Equipped. That's the word.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Don't call the equip. I equip the call. Right. There you go. Perfect. And that is exactly the way I feel. I feel that all of us are called to the tip of the spear at this particular time in history, which is huge, because what happens to America happens to the world. Mm-hmm. So in saving America, we're saving the world. Like President Reagan said, that lampstand on a hill, this is what we are. We're the lampstand to the world. Well, it's being snuffed out. And so the world is going to go, is in chaos. But this again, who plants chaos and confusion? The enemy. So I'm very, very focused on every day. I ask for direction for that day alone. I can't go way into the future and say, okay, Lord, how about that in November and this in the January? He's right here. Right at this moment. And someone said, maybe you guys have read this at being all pastors, that very often fear is looking in the distance on the ocean and seeing huge tsunami waves coming at us. That freezes us in fear. But if we just stay prayerful, stay true to God's word in what he instructs for that day, by the time they reach us, they will be little ripples around our ankles. Nothing. There will be nothing. So this is the way I'm fighting this political fight. Do not get scared. Do not let people freeze in fear. And some are. I hear this all the time. Paul, you're correct. Fear is a huge enemy. But see, if we bite into it, we've lost. We've lost not only the battle, we've lost the war. So I pray for strong leaders. And of course, all politics is local. So these people were very smart decades ago when they got into our local politics, when they got into school boards, when they got into all those things, flipped California. I don't think, though, California is gone at all. There is such a rising of just what we're talking about here. And people are motivated. I hate to say it, but they're angry, because that isn't necessarily the best motivation. I would rather they be convicted. You know, stay with your convictions. Don't go to anger, because you'll burn out. We can't be angry warriors. We've got to be convicted warriors.
I have two thoughts.
Yes,
One is that, you know, we lived in Northern California pretty much all of my life until the last 3 years. And pretty rural, pretty conservative still.
It's, wow.
There's quite a few up there, and it continues to change. But I would say there's a strong move of those minded folks. But when you look at the data, overwhelming, a lot of conservative Christians do not vote. So yep. One key thing we can do is really talk about how the voting does matter, because that could literally make the difference just in California, but overall. And you're seeing, like, in Pennsylvania, the Amish are getting mobilized. Like, people that generally wouldn't be in on the voting are saying, hold on, this is really impacting my life. And then the other thing that I wanted to share was there was a book that I ended up getting from another pastor that I had heard, and it's a book that basically analyzed how President Trump behaved from a Christian perspective as president. And it goes through big broad strokes, but then it goes through like days by days, first year in office. It's overwhelming. I'm really glad I read that book because there are so many things and a lot of things I never even heard about that he did that are deeply Christian. And so,
Yes, did you hear him talk to the Broadcasters Association? The
no.
Greasy Broadcasters Association. Did any of you guys see that? He got in front of the mic and he said, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior."
Right, yeah.
Pastors were
Love
going,
that.
"Whoa."
Yeah.
Good. We need a boldness like that, right? So
Don't you think those attempts, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
you're
but
fine. You're fine.
the attempts on his life have further convicted him that he is being saved and protected for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And he
Absolutely.
is.
And it's beautiful to watch, honestly.
It is so wonderful. There is another book, maybe you guys have all heard about it, talking about the failure of the churches right now. It's called Shepherds for Sale. Have you heard of that book? Shepherds for Sale. It's making the rounds down here. And it is talking about how pastors have gotten so, they've lost the focus of preaching God's sovereign word as truth, and to not pay attention to the voices that are around them.
That's right.
The one voice. Pay attention to the one voice. If you please him, they will come to you. I think people are hungry for that kind of truth. But I don't know the author of Shepherds for Sale, but it is talking about how the pastors worry about the bottom line with the money. They worry about all these different programs and not nurturing the souls of their congregants and themselves.
That's
And
right. That's right. What?
I gotta just say this. So we have a teenager still in the house that is hearing our conversation and just sent me a text message and said, it also makes me sad to see the lack of conviction and ambition from people today. They would rather live an easy life than a fulfilling one. The
Bam.
mouths of babes.
Amen.
Brilliant
Absolutely.
kid. He's got great parents. So somebody's taught him well.
Exactly. Right
He has a
on.
great kid.
Who raised that kid? It's a miracle.
It pays the spend
That.
too, so.
But
It
I
does
think
pay the
that
bills.
is very wise of her to see that in her own generation. But you see, I think the fear, as Paul said, that was planted there, the fear has enervated them, has absolutely made them weak, and also made them dependent on the government.
Yep.
See, what this
Correct.
whole movement has been to divide families, take the husband out of the family, particularly the black families, and make the wife and the kids dependent on the government. And it's been a whole pattern. We can trace it back. So, yes.
You remember Doug
Was
Weed?
I'm
Oh,
sorry.
Ron, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Oh,
Ron.
go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm just going to tell you, remember Doug Weed, Ron, who was, he served on President Herbert Walker Bush's cabinet. He was the president of the school where I was the principal. He also was, after Trump spent a lot of time with him, he was chosen to be the official autobiographer of Trump's life, the book. That's Doug Weed's book. And he said very simply that one of the things he loved was Psalm 23. Talk about putting your eyes on somebody, or the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. What's he do? He leads, but you got to go to him and put your eyes on him before he can lead you. Doug Weed said he was never more touched or moved by all the pastors he'd known in his life as much as the times that he sat in the White House and just talked with Donald Trump. And, he's not a guy, he's funny, he's a comedy in a way. He's also a statesman. But as far as his walk, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Like, I want to get that book from Stephanie also. I want to read that too. I'm sorry,
I
Ron,
do
go
too, Stephanie. I
ahead.
wanted to
I'll
get
share it with
that.
you in a sec.
Would you
Yeah. Hold
please? I want to get that. I
on.
want to get that. But what has been happening, you guys, is such an organized, smart enemy. He is has been coming at us, knows exactly where our weaknesses are, and goes for those. Exact plants fear, like this climate change thing, saying that the climate is the biggest enemy of the future. What? They plant so many things. And I remember years ago, maybe you guys might remember it too, where it said, well, we are getting overpopulated. So all of you have just, if you're going to have children, if you're going to have children, have two just to replace yourselves. And that way we won't get overpopulated. You remember that crazy line that was happening in the 60s? There was so much fear that was planted.
Well, you mentioned the 60s. One of the I think one of the biggest, how can I say that? So one of the most defining things that take place in the 60s was sort of the rise of the campus or campus radicals. I think people discount the impact that people like Rudy Deutsch had on, Rudy Deutsch had with the whole, what's this? His strategy was a long, slow march through the institutions.
Oh, yeah.
Now, people discounted him back in the 60s, but people are just now, for the last 20 or 30 years, realizing the impact he had on folk back in the day. This whole march through the institutions was sort of strengthened after the riots. The riots failed to accomplish the takeover that radicals were attempting to do. So they retreated back to Dorsch's strategy of going into, like you said, into the institutions and then into media and then into politics in order to have this long, slow march. And he took that from the Chinese. But anyway, the idea is you think long term. So you
Exactly.
start. You start with the kids, and you start with college students in particular, who can now influence others, and then you can move into these other institutions. One of the things that people missed and have continued to miss it is him, and later on, you got people like Marshall Kirk and Mattson, who wrote "Overhauling Straight America," "Overcoming Straight America." Well, one of the key things on their strategy of their target list was the church. You start with the schools, with kids, and then with college students, and then people in politics and local politicians, and then the court system, and then finally at the end, you corner the church. And one of the part of the strategy was to get in a church where the church is now dependent on the government or afraid of the government. So not only was the institutions secular institutions infiltrated, but also Bible colleges and seminaries. So why are pastors not preaching? Why are pastors afraid?
That's
Because
right.
pastors have bought into the same mentality that somehow, but there's a separation between politics and preaching the gospel. And it's on its face, it's such a ridiculous idea that it's hard to believe that they buy into it. The part of the nickels and noses portion is a secondary issue. We don't talk about politics in the pulpit because there are people in the congregation who don't want to hear that and they'll leave. You
That's
leave
right.
losing nose, you lose
And the
nickel.
money, and the
Yeah.
money.
So it's a combination of those things. And I think the strategy that's lost is it's simple actually. It's trying to get pastors and other Christians to say do the exact same thing the radicals did. You now start a long, slow march back the other direction. And the focus has to be on kids and then on college students. And then at the same time, in community relationships, one-on-one. I think one of the biggest losses and one of the biggest sins of the church is that we have a commission and we don't follow it.
Right.
We have to go
That's
and make
right.
disciples.
It
You're
becomes a
making
business.
disciples. If we're making disciples one-on-one to neighbor,
Right.
then the culture is impacted. What we do is we bring people into a building and we preach to them, lecture them. And then we call that discipleship. And we can't figure out why this doesn't spread.
It's
Yeah,
not.
so here's what we've done. The pastor has taken someone, set them in a chair, and put on the armor of God, the helmet, and given them salvation, which is going to give you ultimate peace because God's in control of everything. And so I have eternal life no matter what, as long as I have faith. So just sit there, you're going to be okay. You don't put on armor. You don't put on a football helmet and a set of pads to sit in the locker room.
That's
You
right.
Put on armor to go out and fight.
Exactly.
Amen. That's
and we,
right.
And we,
that's
and right. We've lost that. I mean, that's I'm here's the deal. Part of me is I'm filled with angst about where we're going. I really believe I agree with you. We're on the precipice of a fall, from which I don't think we can recover.
I believe, though, Ron, that precipice, we have a choice. It can be a fall or it can be a ladder where we climb up out of this.
Well, I'm saying I say we I agree with that. I think what causes me this angst is, for instance, 6.9 million evangelical Christians, not mainline, not Catholic, 6.9 million evangelical Christians didn't vote.
Did not vote. I know. And
if
that
just
should.
If just 5% of them would have voted conservatively, it would have changed the entire election. Only 3% of the entire evangelical population in the country literally goes out and shares the gospel of the people. Only 3%.
Yeah.
See, this is why I believe, Ron, we had to go through what we had to go through. I believe America had to go to this level to alarm us, to remind us of the power of the evangelical vote. I think we're being called up short and we're being redirected, don't you?
I believe this God's shaking his church. I
Me
believe
too.
COVID and this
Amen.
Is
That's the, right.
Here's my fear. Here's my fear. My fear is the thousands of folk and the hundreds of folks who I either meet or the thousands that I see.
Right.
They know something's wrong, yeah. But for some reason they don't know what to do.
Well, they have a choice. You see, when I pray every morning, I say, Lord, let people's eyes open, let their ears hear,
yes.
Let them see, let them hear. It's up to God to awaken them. If we felt it was on our shoulders, I'd jump off that cliff into the abyss.
Yes.
It's not. Thank God it's not. So the fact that there's chaos all around us, it's like looking at the top of a needlepoint. I may have mentioned this to you before. The top of the needlepoint is a beautiful picture. It is a gorgeous picture. Steph knows where I'm going with this. You look underneath and it's stringy and it's awful and it's ugly. But you see, I think God brings all those strings together.
Yes.
He's got it. He's got everything. So that's why I can't let myself go to fear in my particular situation in my personal life. I could easily fear,
right.
But I won't. I'm letting him prove himself, and
right.
I'm letting him prove his promises, because
yes.
One has failed.
I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to jump in right here for time, looking at this guy.
No, sorry, Joe.
No, you guys are great. I wish we had two hours. Look right here, man. When is nothing profound is coming from me right now, unless you let it be? When is the last time that we felt the presence, the touch, and the shaking, earth-shattering power of God, where his hand came down and touched us like that and spoke to us in such a way that we were not fearful and we were on our knees praying and we knew greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And then we got all the things out of the way that keep us from being what Ron has correctly said. We went out and we told people and we shared the truth. When's the last time? I'm done. That's it. I think it's too far between in all of our lives. And unless we wake up to this, God can't infuse, empower, and change and get us, like Ron says, off our duff, out of the church, into the streets, into the homes. And when we go to church, we better make sure he's there. And it's a church that preaches his word, not eloquently and elitely, but to the hearts of people. I'm done. We're going to take a point here.
Exactly. I always pray too. I'm sorry. I would just say, no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Exactly. Stephanie's going to... there she is. That was answering the further step. Folks, this is where we are, and we know where you are. Step, show the book first and then share a word. We
So it's
could use
called
that for sure.
President Trump's Pro-Christian Accomplishments. I'll probably botch his name, but it's a pastor, Steve Chiocolanti, Chiocolanti.
That's a tough last name.
That's
Yeah.
a spelling
He's
quiz.
really interesting for
Galati.
pastor. Yeah,
So,
say it
how do you say
wrong.
that, Ron?
President
Galati.
Trump's, say
Galati.
it again, President Trump's.
President Trump's
Holy Ghost is
Pro-Christian
fine.
Accomplishments. Okay,
Oh. Oh.
pro-Christian. Okay, got it.
It's
I'll look
really,
that up and get
it's
it.
very powerful.
I want to get that. Yeah. Steph, could you share a word for us with the folks that are listening? And I know they're listening because I'm watching the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just grateful that you came together with us for this very lively discussion tonight. You never know what you're going to get with us, right? Which is one of the reasons you got to listen in each week. And just because we have repeat guests like Janet, there's always something new to discuss. And so we want to add value to your life, hope to your life, and just the joy of the Lord. You
Right.
can find out everything there is to know about the show. Well, mostly everything at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's the website. You'll see links at the top. You can listen live directly from the station. You can also connect on all the different social media platforms. There at the top, there's ways that you can, oh, sorry, not the top. You were right, TJ. Right there is where you can make donations. We always appreciate your financial offerings. It
You
goes a long
skin.
way.
There
And
you
this might be your church. I would encourage you, though, to get in front of other people, but we hope that we do fill you up. And if that serves you, then this might be the place for you to give generously. You can keep scrolling down, and Pastor Joe has instructions if you like the snail mail way and you want to contact him directly. You can keep scrolling down, find past show recordings. It tells you who the guests were. We have a lot of fun, great, amazing people. Honestly, this program has been incredibly blessed. And I believe a lot of who we have on is because the Lord has made a way for that. So we have some strong guests over time. And then if you keep going down, you can learn about each co-host, connect with us directly. And at the very bottom, there's Pastor Joe and Craig's book. So we just thank you for following along with us on this journey. It really is a joy and a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Steph. Ladies and gentlemen, Janet, boy, our time flies so quick. Ron, it's so good to see you. We missed you, bro. I'm glad your family's safe. And same with Steph and Thayer. We're glad you're safe. And Paul's always a blessing to see you, bro, after 55 years as buddies. So, and Janet, you're a blessing. Our prayers are with you and the Golden State ladies. Just keep shedding the grace out there and telling the good news. God's working. God's working. So I'm looking here, and we're going to have to say good night, ladies and gentlemen. We're so glad you tuned in tonight. Please watch the show. You know, like somebody told me, share the program. Just go in here, share it, go to one of the five sites, bring it back up, and share the show tonight with your friends, like you've been doing, and let them listen and share it with their friends. Anything we can do to pray for you, let us know. And we're going to pray real quickly. Goodness gracious, almost forgot. We want to pray. In fact, I'm going to pray. Paul,
Sure.
can you say a 30-second prayer so TJ will sit up for the people in the Southeast? I almost forgot. Gosh,
Yes,
help
I
me.
can. Father, I want to thank you for who you are, and your grace is so amazing. And there are so many people hurting in ways of which we're not aware, but you know, and
Yes.
you've already begun to move, Lord. You were before this happened, and I know that didn't catch you unaware. So bless them, Father. Give them the help they need. Bring the people who know you and love you across their path to be able to speak truth into their hearts.
Yes.
I pray for a spiritual awakening, Father, in our hearts in this country.
Yes.
Keep us aware that we're your children. We bear your name, and what a responsibility and what a privilege to speak in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would rebuke the evil one, cause his plans to be of no effect. That they would fail against us, Lord. We give you all the thanks, all the praise for that, because we know that you're sovereign
Amen.
and you've got this one, and we love you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And God's people, we all said amen. All right. See you next week, folks. God bless you. Walk with him this week. He's got plans for your life. Strap in, hang on. Going to be special. Talk to you next week.
Happy
trails to you
until
we meet again.
No, keep the melody.
Happy to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.